The reading today is from Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Hey kids, I've got a couple of really special things today that I brought with me, and I want you to have a look at them. In here, in my pocket, I've got something special. Do you know what that is?
A watch. It's a watch,
isn't it? You know, that's probably the most special watch I have. Because I don't wear a watch, because I always have this with me, and that always tells me what the time is, and that's my phone and everything else. But this watch is really special. About 4 years ago, my dad died and went to be with Jesus. And I love my dad, and he was a great dad. And he taught me a lot about life and how to live it in the right way and do the right things, how to value things that are worth the most. Now, Jono, come and tell me, is that a really expensive looking watch? What do you reckon? Now, have a close look. Is it an Apple iWatch or would it cost thousands of dollars, or do you reckon it was probably not that expensive? Yeah, it doesn't look very expensive, does it? No, because it's not. My dad didn't spend a lot of money on things like this. He'd rather spend money on helping people. And if we were ever going on holidays and things like that, somehow he'd find a little bit of extra cash to give us so we could just have a special time or do something that we couldn't afford. And he was always helping out people. And so when my dad died, I was thinking, what would I like to keep of my dad's to remind me of him? And it was his watch, because it said a lot about who he was, and it reminded me of him. Now, I don't look at it every day, but it's in my drawer, and every now and then I open that drawer and I see that watch, and I remember my dad, who was really special to me. And I suppose we've all got things that remind us of people who've been special in our life. I've got something else, too. Now, once about 15 years ago, I had the privilege to go to Indonesia, to Sulawesi, and I went up into northern Sulawesi and visited a number of churches that were being planted by students who were at a church planting college. And you couldn't graduate from this church planting college till you'd planted a church. Once you'd planted a church, then you graduated. So it wasn't just learning stuff, it was doing it as well. And while I was there, we went to a lot of remote places. And on this particular one, we travelled all day in a little mini bus through all these amazing four-wheel drive tracks up and down hills, right up into the mountains. Half the time we had to get out and push it through the mud, and eventually we got there. And I stayed in the house of this lady who was the richest lady in the town because she owned a gold mine that was on the top of this mountain. Everybody else in the town was employed by her, and they were mostly poorer people. And we went to their church service, and I spoke in their church service, and she was very appreciative of that. An interesting thing was there was a guy who kept hanging around me with a gun, a great big gun on his hip, and I'm thinking, this guy's a bit creepy. And I went for a walk up the street, not very far. They said to me, don't go too far. And he just followed me about 10 feet behind, and I'm thinking, do I trust this guy? What's going on here with him with his big gun? Anyway, when I was leaving, I said, and what's Wayan's, why is he hanging around? She goes, oh, he's your bodyguard, because you're a foreigner, and if anyone saw you in this town, they'd think you were here to rob us for our gold, and they'd probably shoot you. So he was there to protect you. And I, oh, thank you. When we left this poor village, this lady gave me something special. For a very poor village, this was a very expensive gift. Now, I didn't want to take it, but she insisted that we did take, there was two of us there, and so that was a very precious gift that they gave us because we went out of our way to come and visit them and spend some time with them. Two very special things. One, very inexpensive, but a lot of sentiment and emotion attached to that. One, very expensive, and also lots of sentiment attached to that because of the circumstances and the humbling way that we were blessed in an amazing way by these people. Now, over here, we have a very big special gift that comes from Jesus. Now, in some ways, that's not an expensive gift. It's a very cheap gift. It's just something quite inexpensive, but in other ways, it's more precious than gold. Donnie, I wonder if you could just lift off and show us what that gift is from Jesus. Wow, look at that. Bread and grape juice. Isn't that an amazing gift? Do you know why Jesus gave us that gift? It was to remind us of him. Just like my watch reminds me of my dad every time I see it, every time we come and take communion, that reminds us of Jesus and what he's done for us. How he came to show us how to live a good life. And now he's gone to be with God in heaven. And the bread and the wine are symbols to remind us of that. Far more precious to us than gold, because this lasts forever and reminds us that if we follow Jesus, we will spend the rest of our eternity with God and Jesus in heaven. So we're going to share in this today, and it just reminds us about Jesus, a very special gift that he gave us to remember by. So I wonder if the helpers could come to serve us. I was going to try and get us to do this as families. I'm not sure that we could do this without an enormous amount of chaos, but maybe chaos is good. I think I'll get one person to take the elements at the back, someone to maybe just either side here, and if you could sort of make your way to either of those, so one at the back, one on either side, and if you've come here with a friend or if you're here with your kids or your family, come as a family, just gather around, take the elements, and share them together, the bread and the wine, and then return back to your seats. So while they're just getting themselves in place, I'm going to pray for this time. Jesus, we thank you that you came as a baby, and that's what we remember here at Christmas time. We thank you that you came with a special purpose to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and that is to bring us into a perfect relationship with God by you dying in our place. So as we remember the bread and the wine that remind us of your broken body and your blood that was spilt for us, I pray, Lord, that we would just remember how special it is what you've done for us, and that we would take this and honour what you've done for us by putting our faith and trust in you and making you our Lord and Saviour. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Now, if you're a visitor, we have an open communion. You're free to come and join us and be served by the people at the front, and we're quite happy to serve the children as well. If you have a different view about that, then you can ask us not to serve your kids. But come and join us at the table of the Lord.
I'm going to ask you guys to help me out here. And to do that, I have incentives. So Richie's ready to go straight away. Very good. All right. We're talking about extravagant gifts. James shared about something that meant a lot to him, his dad's watch. So I want to give a few of you the opportunity to share your extravagant gift, something that you have been given that might have been worth $1 million, or it might have been worth very little, but to you it meant something amazing. Who'd like to start me off for some Maltesers? Yes, Jono. You've got to tell me about the gift before you get the gift. Aha, yeah, no.
I don't know. Awesome parents.
Thus ended the sermon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. We'll be here all week. Yes, Mark. Awesome parents. Very good, mate. Very good. You could have followed up with awesome kids, but you missed that boat. Yes. A house. That's a pretty cool gift. Do you like Mars bars? Good. All right. I saw a hand over here. Yes. Awesome. Husband. Excellent work. There you go. All right. Coming back over to this side. Anyone? The kids are all pumped here. But if I start giving out chocolates at this time to the kids, I will be in trouble. Yes, Dave. A granddaughter, yes, this year, first granddaughter. How many other people can say amen to that one? Yeah, amen. Not yet, Mark? No granddaughters for you yet? Not yet. Yes, Evie. Great-granddaughter. Oh, there we go. Trumping. There we go. Excellent. You've got nine. All right, anyone over this side? Some extravagant gifts. We're using a lot of the grandkids and all that sort of stuff. Let's keep going. Yes, right at the back there. Oh, awesome. How cool is that? Where's down here from? Charters Towers. Excellent. Now, if you'd like to come up the front, I won't throw them because I might hit the people in front of you. And one of them's my wife and I could be in trouble. So, yeah. Well, welcome along. I hope you have a great time on the coast. There you go. I'll only hit Megan here, so that's pretty safe. Oh, good work. All right. Holidays. Yes, Dave, you've been very good. Brothers and sisters, excellent work. Two more extravagant gifts. Two more extravagant gifts. Yes. Yes. Very cool. Excellent. There you go. Last one, Peter, right up the back. Freedom. Yes, excellent work. All right, Keith, I'll try not to hit you. All right. Extravagant gifts. Do you think any will get extravagant gifts this year? Who's hoping for some extravagant gifts? Who's put down a list of extravagant gifts? Well, let me give you some things because someone is going to get some extravagant gifts because in the next month, Australians are going to spend 45, you ready for this next word? 45 billion. 45 billion on Christmas gifts, on Christmas food, on Christmas drinks, and of course, Christmas lights. New South Wales is the most expensive state, so who's going to New South Wales for holidays? No, okay. They're spending $548 million just on presents. The big thing at Christmas time is the budget often gets smashed to pieces. 57% of people set a budget, and 4 out of 5 of those people stay on budget. How do you think people pay for all these extravagant gifts? Credit cards. Well, 60% put it out of their savings. 60% have saved up for Christmas. 20% on credit card. 10% borrow money from family or friends. 10%. That's a lot of money. I think I'll try that one. And 10% put it on lay-by. So you get a gift on lay-by. There you go. Most people pay off their Christmas card. How long do you think it takes for us to clear that debt? Yeah. 3 months. Within 3 months, 80% is paid off. 80% is paid off in 3 months. This Christmas, kids, 9 out of 10 will receive lots of money. If my dad was still with us, then the kids would have got an envelope with money in it. That was just the way Dad did things. How much do people normally get? Well, kids, sometimes 22% of you will get 50 to 100, 20% will get 100 to 200, and 22% will get $200 plus. How do the kids spend it? Let's go to the girls first, shall we? 45% of the girls will bank the money. 40% will spend it on clothes. Very good. 29% will save it up for a big item, 22% on music, and 20% on going out. How do the boys spend it? Lego. 45% on console games, and another 24% on computer games. 43%, so only 2% less than the girls, will bank it. 31% will save it up for a big item, and 22% will save it for other sorts of games. So there we go. Extravagant gifts indeed. I'm not sure what I'll be getting for Christmas this year. But I'm hoping and praying it will be something incredibly extravagant. Yes. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we want to thank you that you are an extravagant God. You are big, big God. You're a God that loves us so much that you did something so unexpected, so extravagant, that it's just amazing. Father, I pray that as we reflect just quietly on one small passage from your word, that we will understand that the meaning of Christmas is truly an extravagant gift given to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. How many people know that passage? Yeah, we know that one, don't we? Unto us a child is born, or unto us a child is given. It's very special. To us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Powerful passage. But if you read the verses before it, there's even some more amazing things that are taking place in before it. See, Isaiah is in a time and a place where there's darkness across the land. There are shadows over the land. But Isaiah is told that there is a light that is beginning to shine, or a light has started to shine. Do you think that the original Christmas was similar to this passage that we're reading from the Old Testament? I think that the time that Jesus was born was a dark time as well. Certainly across Israel, a land that was captive, that was under Roman rule. They were certainly looking for a light. They were certainly looking for a Savior to set them free from the tyranny that they were under. We are told that this passage has an incredible significance for us who would like to be walking in the light and making a difference to the darkness that is around us. I think it's incredible that as we do look through history, you'll see again and again and again that God always has a remnant. God always has a group of people who stay faithful to his word, that shine the light, that grab hold of the light that comes at times when the world is incredibly dark. Dark spaces, dark times. And it's at this time that an extravagant gift is given to us. Let me read it again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This time of Christmas, God enters time and space, breaks through, becomes a child, sends his one and only son. But it's not just a little God trying to break through, is it? It's not just some statue. It's not just some thought or process or some belief system. It is the mighty God, the creator of all that is, the one and only, the one and true God that is breaking through. He is the wonderful counselor. He is there and always will be there. The New Testament goes to back that up. Whenever we need to reach out to a God in a time of stress, a time of struggle, a time of pain or grief, we have this wonderful counselor who is there for us. Sometimes when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, "And the Father will send another like me, a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be with us and walk through it." The everlasting Father, to know that we have a God that is entering into this darkness that is the everlasting Father, the Father that is always going to be there, always was, always is, and always will be. The Prince of Peace. Peace in a time of turmoil, a time of question, a time where we certainly are looking at being the remnant. I want to stop right now and take some time to pray for us here on the sunny coast. On Friday morning, we got to share at our last time as a group of pastors for 2016, just different churches. We had a couple of Uniting Church guys, a couple of Baptist guys, and an Anglican guy. The Anglican guy is the current locum over here at Kawana. Stuart Webb, who was the locum there for almost five, not locum, the priest in charge for 5 years, has moved to Port Macquarie and has taken on an amazing role down in the church down there. An incredible guy who's done incredible work into this local community, and I personally will miss him going to Port Macquarie. But it was at this time that I'd met this gentleman back when I was an Anglican minister, and he was also in and through the local church at Sunnybank when I was at Mount Gravatt. He was talking to me about the Anglican church here on the sunny coast. And he said at the moment he's the locum there, so that's only for a short term. He's retired three times. Three times he's retired and keeps get calling back into churches because there is a need. The local minister at Caloundra Anglican Church has just retired due to ill health. The minister at Budrum Anglican Church has been promoted to bishop. And the Maroochydore Anglican minister has stopped work also due to ill health. All those major churches in the Anglican Church here on the sunny coast at this moment in time have no pastor. No one. They will get interim pastors that will come in and they'll get retired pastors. One of the guys was sharing that he had retired seven times and keeps getting called back into ministry. I want to pray for my Anglican brothers right now at this Christmas that there would be a raising up of pastors for that church, that denomination. A number of young guys and different were ordained down in Brisbane yesterday, so I'm praying that there will be a flow on. Let's just pray, shall we? Father God, I thank you that I have this incredible opportunity of being a pastor in this place, and James is here as well. And Lord, we couldn't do without Richie. And we're praying about a youth pastor in these four walls, Lord God, and out into our community. But Father, my heart breaks for groups of people who are meeting today who are sheep without their shepherd, as it were. I know they have you, Lord Jesus, and I am so thankful for that. And I pray, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will minister greatly in and through these times today as they minister with one another. But Father, I pray for your provision. I pray, Lord God, that you would do something miraculous within the Anglican Church here on the sunny coast. I thank you for the faithful. I thank you for the remnant. I thank you for those that are holding on and will be praying and praying and praying. And I want to stand with them in the gap for their church, for their local ministries, for their mainly music groups, for their youth ministries, for their home groups. Stand in the gap with them, Lord God, believing that they will continue to grow and continue to move forward, impacting our local community here on the Sunshine Coast. We lift them before you in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. If you could keep them in your prayers, that would be absolutely fantastic. An extravagant gift. As James so beautifully put it, our communion today is an incredibly extravagant gift. That Jesus himself is that gift. Cindy also said that we are blessed with our children, and we are incredibly blessed by our children. And we thank you that you are here with us today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for these incredible people. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to fill us all with your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, the extravagant God who gave extravagant gift, that we would be extravagant in our love for you and for one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. God bless. Stay, enjoy tea and coffee. Thank you for joining with us this morning.